Welcome to episode 2 of the Game Week Navigators. I'm FPL Joe, and I have FPL Run Farm Leong with me today. So we are back today to talk about defensive picks, mainly focusing on goalkeepers and defenders. So how we are going to do this is that we will be going through the player picks based on the price points, and let us jump straight into the premium goalkeepers. So first up, we have Edison. So Edison is an interesting player. Man City recorded the lowest expected goals conceded of 34.22 last season. And the Citizens have favorable early fixtures this coming season, providing opportunities for clean sheet points. But the only con will be City's dominance in their possession and their defense, limiting the number of shots they concede. So thus, resulting in fewer opportunities in save points for Edison, as we all know towards the back end of last season. So I would say tread with caution, but nonetheless, it's Man City, and he's still a decent pick.
Yeah, before we go to the next keeper, maybe I just want to comment a bit on Edison. So I've actually owned him for around maybe 90% of my team last season, and I chose to stick with him despite him keep on conceding late goals. So I think a lot of people will be very cautious in picking Edison this season, even though we have City's good defensive record. So we'll see whether he can improve on his score this season. Okay, so we go to the next keeper.
Yeah, next keeper will be Nick Pope.
Nick Pope, yeah. So as a Newcastle fan, of course, I have to start with recommending a Newcastle goalkeeper. So as you can see, Nick Pope's price has increased from 5.0 to 5.5 this season. So which is make him the highest price keeper together with Edison and Alisson, I think. So we look at his scores over the past five seasons, including his scores with Burnley. And we can see that he averages around 150 and scored consistently. His lowest score is actually 130 in these five seasons. So he's actually a very consistent starter and also consistent contributor in terms of points. In terms of clean sheets as well, he kept 14 clean sheets, which is just behind David De Gea. As we know, he has left Manchester United, so he's currently the highest clean sheet holder. And in terms of saving penalties, he actually have a good record and joined second highest in terms of penalty saving. However, if we look at Newcastle's fixtures, this season, we have a tough start. We start with home with Aston Villa, which I think Pope is a good choice. But after that, we continue to away to Man City, home to Liverpool, and away to Brighton, which are three of the very attacking teams and likely to score goals. So this might scare people away a bit in starting with Pope. But if Pope can, I believe if Pope can do well in the early matches, then maybe starting from game week 5 or 6, people will start bringing him in. Yeah. So the next goalkeeper.
The next goalkeeper, I think we're going to talk about Alisson of Liverpool. You know, those who watch the matches know that Alisson saved Liverpool counters of matches with some tremendous saves last season. So that makes him, in terms of FPL, he's a BPF's monster. Finishing as the highest ranked player, as the highest BPS of all goalkeepers last season. And Liverpool is ranked third in terms of shots conceded, meaning they concede a lot of shots with an expected goal conceded of 60.23. However, they only concede 47 goals. And this shows Alisson's effectiveness in preventing the goals for Liverpool. And another bonus, he's currently less than 10% owned. And I think for me personally, if you're looking to spend more on goalkeeper, this Alisson is the player of choice for now.
Yeah, for me, in all these years playing the game, I actually never picked Alisson for whatever reasons are unknown. Maybe due to the fact that at some point during the season, we want to go triple Liverpool. So if we have Alisson, then we cannot go maybe Trent, Salah and another Liverpool attacker. So that might be a factor that stops people from getting Alisson. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, because Liverpool players, usually people go for the attackers like Trent or Salah and some other player. But we see last season, Alisson he's a consistent pick, he's nailed, and he's always there for Liverpool. And I think, you know, as far as goalkeeper goes, he's not a bad pick. So now next we're going to look at Aaron Ramsdale, which is currently, I think, should be the highest owned goalkeeper in FPL. It's not without its merits. If you look at Arsenal's favorable early fixtures, they have one of the better fixtures of all the teams. As you look, they have the first game against Forest, then away to Palace, and then at home to Fulham. So these favorable fixtures, they provide opportunities for clean sheets and potential save points, as well as the return of Saliba, and also Saliba signing a new contract, stamps his future in Liverpool, in Arsenal, sorry, and the signing of Declan Rice. This will definitely add more in terms of their defense and will also enhance their performance. And in turn, it helps Aaron Ramsdale getting more clean sheets. And Arsenal ranked the fourth in terms of the numbers of goals conceded last season. And that's also with a long injury of Saliba. So I can see their defense to improve this coming season with the addition of Saliba and Declan Rice.
Yeah, I think in terms of price, definitely a bit surprised that Ramsdale is priced at 5 instead of 5.5, which I expected, which is why a lot of people chose to go there, because they don't want to spend 5.5 on their premium goalkeepers, especially if Haaland's price increases and we have to control our budget properly. So maybe we'll look at the next option at 5.0, which is this guy, Emi Martinez. Of course, we know that he won the World Cup with Argentina and also the Golden Glove. So some people might not like his on-pitch and off-pitch antics. I think might piss a lot of people off. But if you look at the points-wise, he has been averaging 150 points over the last three seasons. So a very consistent performer and also a very good penalty savers. Actually, if you look at his career's penalty saving stats, he actually saved around 25-26% of the penalties. So if Villa concede a penalty, definitely you can bet on him in getting the save points. Also, in terms of Villa's defense, we can see that it's quite bad under Gerrard, but after Emery took over, it actually have improved. They don't improve straight away, they improve gradually. We can see that in the last six games, they actually conceded just 9 big chances. So whether they can carry this defensive forms in the new season is vital in us, whether we want to choose Martinez or not. So any other 5.0 keepers that you consider, Joe?
Personally, I would probably prefer 4.5 goalkeepers, which is why we're going to go to the next one. Next choice at 4.5, it's Jordan Pickford. So if you look at the starting fixtures of Everton, I think it's quite decent, and it also provides opportunities for clean sheets. And in term, if for Pickford, it's more on the save points. So if you look at Everton's first game, it's home to Fulham, second game away to Villa, and then after that, home to Wolves and away to Sheffield United. So with Sean Dyche's first full season at Everton, and this is his first pre-season at Everton, so I'm pretty sure as a manager, I think looking at Everton's performance last season with his defensive record, you know, the manager would want to bolster or would want to train in terms of defense. And hopefully this helps Pickford as well. And he's also has been proven a reliable shot stopper in the past. He finished last season as the third highest number of saves. So that means there's a lot of save points, potential save points as well in Pickford. So which is why currently he is in my draft, Jordan Pickford.
Just a quick question for you, Joe. So if you are... Just an unrelated FPL question. If you are England manager now, who would you pick as your first choice goalkeeper? Pickford, Pope, or Ramsdale?
Personally, I would say I would pick Pope, because I can see him being more consistent and basically playing for a stronger team, a Champions League team. And, you know, so for me, my first choice would probably be Pope.
Yeah, but Pickford is currently Southgate's favourite, so I think it's hard to remove him from that spot for a few years from now. So we look at, how about, what are the other 4.5 keepers that you fancy? So I have a choice here, which is the next one that I'll show. Okay, so Leno. Okay, mm-hmm. If you see that a lot people think that Leno plays for a Fulham team, which is not... on paper, it's not strong on defense, so it'll concede a lot of goals, a lot of shots. But if you look at the stats, actually have his rank in second on total number of save and also save points, which means that even though they concede a lot of shots, this actually benefits Leno because he'll get a lot of save points from that. And also he made the most save in the box, which is, means that he's really strong in one-on-one situations, the strongest among all the keepers actually. And also in terms of bonus points, we can see that it's actually just behind Alisson and Raya, and we are not sure now that Raya is staying in Brentford or not. So just based on the save points and the total number of save and the bonus points alone, maybe Leno can be a good choice. However, this all depends on how well Fulham's defence is set this year, whether they can maintain the form last season or they get even worse. So it all depends on that, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I think that's all about it for the goalkeepers that we are going to discuss today. Any 4.0 million goalkeepers that you fancy at the moment?
I think the only one that we can consider is maybe Areola, because rumors going around saying Fabianski might be moved to second choice and reserved for more for some cup games or maybe some European games. So Areola might be the first choice. So it definitely is something that we need to observe, especially during the preseason. But if it's true and he plays most of the preseason games for West Ham, a 4.0 million goalkeeper it's really hard to resist.
Okay, so we'll go to the next topic, which is our defender. So Joe, do you want to start with the most expensive defender that we have?
Yeah, the most expensive defender that we have is Trent Alexander-Arnold at 8 million. I think, to be honest, I don't think I've seen an 8 million defender before. I might be wrong, but you know, this is almost like a premium midfielder status kind of price. But it is not without its merits, because we all know how good is Trent, especially in when Liverpool is attacking. So especially the last 10 seasons of last season, Trent has thrived in the rejuvenated inverted back row, full back row, and sometimes, you know, even borderline playing as a right midfield. He has the points to prove as well. He provided 7 assists and scoring a goal in the final 10 games for Liverpool. And he boasts an impressive expected goal involvement of 11.62. And this shows of his potential in terms of contributing the goals, and scoring the goals as well, and also the assists. But one thing to note, Szoboszlai, I mean, we are not sure. This is something that we can see during preseason. How will he slot in into the Liverpool team? And he's known for being a good set piece taker. So will he take some of the set pieces from Trent? You know, this is something that we all have to monitor during the preseason. But I think at 8 million, he's a good defensive asset. I mean, you would think clean sheets is a bonus for Trent, and you know, he's more almost like a midfield asset in FPL. So I think, yeah, so that's the most expensive defender that we have. And the second most expensive defender we have, maybe Leong, you can introduce to us.
So before I talk about Trippier, maybe just a little bit on Trent. So I think last season, a lot of us made Trent a must-have in our team together with Cancelo, of course, which is now out of the picture.
Yep.
So, but Trent started badly, maybe due to Liverpool leaking a lot of goals and them mm-hmm. missing the clean sheet points. And then if you look at eye test-wise, he might be a liability in terms of defence for Liverpool, because you can see he's at fault for a lot of Liverpool's goals. So that actually made a lot of people move away from and sell Trent. And towards the end of the season, in his new role, then people start buying him in. So it's interesting to see whether he continues in this new role in the new season. So if yes, I think he'll be a very good option. So we look at the next defender again, another Newcastle defender. So Trippier, surprisingly, the current ownership is at 33.9%, which I actually expected it to be lower due to Newcastle's tough fixtures at the beginning, and also due to his price rise from, I think, 5 million last season to currently 6.5, so the second highest price defender in the game. But I think the pricing is justified because he's the top scoring defender last season, almost hitting 200 points, just 2 points shy with 198 points. And also in terms of chances created, whether it's through set pieces, whether it's through his forward runs and crosses, he actually ranked second among the biggest big chances created with 24, just after Trent. And also in terms of XGI, actually he's has the highest among defenders with 12.59. Other than that, we can see that in terms of bonus points, actually he gets he does a little bit of everything. He does some defending, tackling, and also some good accurate passes. So all of this actually contributes to his bonus points. So you can see that if Newcastle keeps a clean sheet, usually he gets 3 or 2 bonus points. And if he doesn't, maybe he can get some attacking returns and he'll get some 1 or 2 bonus points as well. So I think this is a very attractive. However, as a even as a Newcastle fan, I wouldn't start right away with Trippier because of obviously his price point and also our fixtures. But if you want to start with Trippier, I think it's also a good way to approach it, because I think he's actually 32 years old, I think, this year, but he's not showing any sign of aging. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of games this season compared to last season. He actually started, I think he started all of the games last season. So I think it's impossible at this age for him to start all the Premier League matches and the Champions League matches. So, and currently we don't have a good backup right back for him. So it's very interesting to see if we actually buy someone new so that he can get some rest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So moving on to some lower price defenders, what do we have in mind, Joe?
Yep. So we look at the 5.5 million price point. I think the first player that comes to mind is Luke Shaw. So Luke Shaw, he's an interesting player, because now De Gea has, like as mentioned by Leong, De Gea has left the club and they are looking to sign Onana. So I think Man United fans has been crying for so long for a new goalkeeper and asking the club to give Henderson a chance as well. But I think with a goalkeeper such as Onana, if he does join Man United, this would definitely improve their defense. Because actually, Man United, they are good in terms of stats. Their defensive stats are good. It's just they do concede an odd goal here and there, and this also, you know, sort of affected Luke Shaw's chance last season to get those clean sheet points. And with the arrival of Mason Mount, this is just we just have to look and see whether his ability to carry the ball forward or actually bring the ball, you know, can help Man United to actually keep the ball longer, and also to allow Shaw to actually, you know, go into more attacking positions and creating chances. Because we know last season Martinez was injured for quite some time, and that forced Luke Shaw to play as a left centre-back role. But even at a left centre-back role, he still racked up those BPS by his passing, because he is a passer of the ball and he does a lot of passes. And he ranked third highest in bonus points earned last season, despite, you know, limited minutes and some of that minutes playing as a left centre-back. So Luke Shaw, he's back, he's fit, and he's ready. So I think at 5.5 million, he will be my defender of choice. But maybe Leong has some other players to to talk about at 5.5 million.
Yeah, I just wish that Shaw actually managed to save it for a majority of the season, because we know that in his career he have a lot of long-term injuries, and yep. even last season he have some short-term injuries. So we don't know when we can sell him, when we can buy him back. So we hopefully this will not be a doubt this season. Mm-hmm. Speaking about injuries, actually, the next defender I'll be talking about, it's... Okay, so we have John Stones. Okay, so a lot of us, if we look at Man City fixtures, actually they start with away at Burnley, home to Newcastle, away at Sheffield United, home to Fulham. So we have in the first four games, they actually play two promoted sites, even though they played away. And then if you look at up to the first seven games, like West Ham, Forest, and Wolves, so these are not the teams that most likely will score a lot against City or even score against City. So I think we'll look at owning at least one City defender if it's not Ederson. So we look at John Stones' stats. Okay, so... as we know, last season we have plenty of options for at the back for City. We have Ecker, we have Akanji, we have Stones, we have Walker, we have Lewis at some points. So plenty of choices, but we don't know due to Pep's rotation. We don't know which defender will actually start and which will not. But towards the end of the season, Pep actually move Stones to a newer role, which is a hybrid role in the midfield, which makes him sort of nailed towards the end of the last season. And also he's the highest scoring defender, which is not a lot, because highest scoring defender, they only have 93 points. So this might mm-hmm. not be a lot, but if you look at City's defensive record, as Joe mentioned just now, they actually considered the lowest XG. So again, it's very tempting to own one of City's defender. So we look at his attacking stats. He might not be the best attacker, which used to be Cancelo, but now I don't see any obvious attacker among City defenders. But we look at in terms of eye test, we can see that in set pieces, Stones actually get into a lot of dangerous and the right positions in a lot of times, which leads to his two goals and assists in the last season, and also a lot of big chances, which is ranked the top among City's defenders. So he'll get some rare goals here and there, and he'll get most likely to be nailed in the first few games when City don't have the Champions League. So I think he's a very good option. Yep. What do you have in mind in other defenders, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, Stones, if I were to take a Man City defender, I'll definitely look at Stones. I think he is high in Pep's favourites list. And also Pep uses him not just as a defender, but also as almost like pushing towards a midfield kind of role as they're attacking and controlling the ball. So he's sort of like a person pulling the strings at the back. So yeah, Stones is a really good choice. But my only issue is rotation and his injury proneness. So that's my take. So the next defenders, I think Leon is also going to introduce us to the famous dynamic duo, Chilwell and James.
Yeah, actually more of infamous dynamic duo. because as mentioned earlier, injury plays a big part in selecting players in FPL. And in the past one or two seasons, these are very frustrating assets to own, I think, for a lot of managers, because they keep getting injured, either sickness, mentally fatigue, or just played a few games and they get out for a long term of time. So I think when they get some training sessions under Pochettino, maybe they'll increase the fitness. I'm not sure about that, because as we know, Pochettino tends to train the team really well in terms of fitness, and also in terms of using fullbacks. We actually know that Pochettino don't really play with wingbacks in his past teams. So we look at his Southampton teams. We have Luke Shaw and Klein, and look at his Spurs team. We have Trippier, Walker, we have Ben Davies and Danny Rose. I think all of them scored quite a lot of FPL points during that time. So it's very interesting to see how Poch can fit Chilwell and James into the team and make them play better. And however, in terms of if you look at because we cannot look at total points last season or total stats last season, so instead we look at the per 90 minute stats last season. So we can see in terms of XGI, both of them actually rank top 10. So it's not the matter of whether they can score or whether they can assist, but it's a matter of whether they can stay fit and how long they can stay fit. So that will be key on whether we pick them or not, because the price point is really good at 5.5 million.
Agreed. Yeah, because I think last season I also owned James before he got injured. And then after that, I owned Chilwell and he barely got me any points.
they went on a big losing run under Lampard and none of us won any of them anymore.
Yeah, but definitely one to keep an eye for, because on their day and when they're back in form, they are you really need to have them. If not, you know, you get left behind really soon. So next we're going to look at the 5 million price point, and this is Gabriel. So Gabriel, I think firstly I mentioned previously when I talk about Ramsdale, if you look at Arsenal's fixtures, it's really favorable. As you can look even in the up to game week 7, they are all really good fixtures. And one thing interesting about Gabriel is that amongst all defenders last season, this is interesting, I only just knew about this recently, he has the highest expected goals among all defenders. So you can see that, you know, he is an attacking threat, especially during set pieces. And he has that goal scoring ability in him. So he is only 16.9% owned at the moment, somewhat under the radar. But for me, I think he's a good choice. And also he's super nailed. I think he almost played all the minutes last season. And as mentioned just now, with Saliba and Rice coming, with Saliba coming back and Rice coming in, you know, it will only strengthen. It will only be a good thing for Gabriel in terms of his defensive stats. So if he can continue his XG this coming season, I think we can see him being a really popular pick at 5 million.
So I would assume that you rank Gabriel above Zinchenko and maybe Saliba for now.
Yeah, for now, because I think Zinchenko is somewhat not as nailed if you compare to Gabriel, but of course Zinchenko is a fullback, so maybe more assist potential. But I think last season his minutes is really limited as well. But I can see him playing more, definitely more this coming season. But for me, if you want to own a player from game week 1, you have to look at the most nailed option. And a team which with good fixtures, because you wouldn't want to have a team going in and there are players who are rotated and you need to make transfers on game week 2 or even taking hits on game week 2. So typically what you will want to do is to pick the most safe players and team in game week 1, and maybe, you know, carry the transfer and roll the transfer over so that you can see what's going on in game week 3.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are waiting for a certain Brighton defender, which is very popular nowadays. So we can see whether he appears here.
He's here. So I think almost no-brainer, this one, Estupinian. He is currently 51.7% owned, which is, I think, he's the highest amongst all defenders. But yeah, there's a reason why we all put him in our teams. So he ranks the fifth highest in terms of expected assists, fourth highest in terms of key passes. He's the sixth highest in terms of big chance created. And he's the third highest in terms of touches in the penalty box. So, and Brighton is a really attacking team, as we all know, under De Zerbi last season. And Estupinian is one of the key players in making that happen. They are ranked the third highest in terms of the team's total XG, only behind Man City and Liverpool. And the Seagulls, they have a good, decent starting fixture as well. And Estupiñán is nailed. So for me, he's one of the first names I put in my draft. So as you can see on the screen, Brighton first game is against at home to Luton, and then away to Wolves, and then at home to West Ham. So these are good fixtures for Brighton to actually start the season well, and continue what they were doing last season, terrorizing teams and scoring a lot of goals. So what do you think about Brighton or Estupiñán, Leong?
Yeah, I think it will be very interesting to see how Luton's defense will cope with the darting runs of Estupiñán in the first game. It might be a shocking return for them to the Premier League.
Yep.
So I think it's very hard not to own him right now because of the ownership.
Yep. Yeah.
But however, we cannot just own the high-priced defenders. So I also look at some 4.5 million defenders. And again, I'll talk about a certain Newcastle defender, which is Botman. Again, I think his ownership is pretty high right now. And at 4.5 million, he's actually a very good bargain in terms of to get into Newcastle defense, because as you can see that Newcastle actually have the second best defense in the Premier League last season. And to own one of the defenders with 4.5 million is a really good bargain, even though in some games like against City, you might be able to just keep him on the bench and start him again the next game. Yeah.
So I mean, we just touched a little bit on 4.5 million defenders. So my pick would probably be Matty Cash from Villa. He's from last season. We see during the games he's a good attacker, running down the flank, and under Emery, I think the defensive stats will only improve. And also a shout out to Mings as well. I think he's also a good player to own, a good defender to own at 4.5. But you know, something interesting is that in my latest drafts, I opted without any 4.5 players, because I have two 4 million defenders in my current team. Firstly is to save some cash, to save some money. But also because we have quite good 4 million defender options this coming season, as Leong is going to talk about.
Yeah, it's interesting you actually omit cash to save some cash. So we'll look at the 4.0 defenders. So usually in traditionally, FPL actually have a few options that they reserve in the 4.0 million option, usually from the promoted teams. So first we look at Luton. So in terms of the defense, they actually have one of the best defense in the Championship last season. And not so much in terms of attack, but the defense is really strong. And one of the pillar in defense is Maribel, which he actually started the most games among all the defenders, among all the Luton defenders, and with 46 games. And also he's the only left-footed centre-back actually currently available in Luton's team. So I don't see him being replaced by anyone unless Luton signs someone new. And also if there's someone that's injured, he can also deputize at the left wing back role. So might get some attacking returns as well. So we can have to keep an eye on him. He's currently playing in the Gold Cup, and actually I think he recently
just scored a goal.
Scored a goal as well. Yeah. So next we look at another promoted team, which is Burnley. So Jordan Bayer, so his nickname is very interesting, actually. His nickname, Bacon Bayer, after Franz Beckenbauer in among Burnley fans, because of his ability to actually carry the ball forward from defense like Franz Beckenbauer used to do. Although I don't think he's that good, but he actually have, I think from Kompany's style of play, which is very ball dominant, and I think he will actually benefit from that and even increasing his assist potential. As he has, you can see he has one goal and three assists last season. And also he's actually nailed in the centre-back position. And finally, we have Sheffield United. Yeah, so I think a lot of us are familiar with this guy, Josh Baldock, from a few seasons back when Sheffield United is in the Premier League. So some of us might think that he's not as nailed as the other two because of the competition from the same position, which is from Bogle. So it's very interesting to see from the pre-season games whether Baldock or Bogle starts on that right wing back role, because if Baldock can nail that right wing back role, he'll actually do a lot of forward runs and put in a lot of crosses, as we can see in Championship last season. And he also started a lot of games, 33 games, and had a goal and three assists. So if he can nail down the position, I think he's the most attacking among the three 4.0 options that I've mentioned just now. Yeah, yep. So I think that's all for our current starting 4.0 options that we have currently.
Yeah, just to share, so currently I have both Bayer and Bell in my team.
Yeah.
So saving those extra money in the bank to put somewhere else. Okay. So yeah. So that's all we have for today, everyone. Thank you for watching. Thank you for staying with us right to the end. And I hope this video or this session that we have today, me and Leong, helps you to make your decisions better and to give you more insight to navigate the preseason and to build your drafts. I think some of the players we mentioned here is under monitoring status throughout the preseason. Preseason games hasn't really started yet, but it definitely have a watch and look out for who is playing in what position and doing well in which team. I think it will be interesting. But of course, you can also follow this channel. The Game Week Navigators, they will be back for the next session as we talk about midfield picks for every price point as well. So if you like what we're doing, do subscribe and click on the notification bell and be notified of any new videos that we have coming your way. So stay tuned and we see you soon at Game Week Navigators.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.